Well, we appreciate the blessings of the Lord. We appreciate salvation. We figured some of the other brethren would be preaching this afternoon. We felt like that some of them was going to be gone and, before I was, and I wanted to give them probably plenty of opportunity to preach while they were here.
Yes.
And but I feel like the Lord will bless His Word.
Amen. Amen.
We desire your prayers that we look to the Lord. Our thought is, you know, the most everyone likes someone to follow. There's not very many, there's more people that would be capable of following than they would be leaders. So the Lord knew that, and He gave us someone to follow. Someone that is safe to follow. That is Jesus. When He was here, anytime He would call someone to want to change their life from the course that they were going, well, He'd tell them to follow Me. That's why he told them. That's the instructions that He gave. And I believe that's the same instructions that He's giving today. Most all of us that isn't saved, well, we need someone to follow. We need to change our course. And so the Lord has put within our reach someone that is safe to follow. Someone that will lead us in the right way. I want us to turn to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. First verse says, "Be you followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Now, of all the ones that we want to follow in the world, well, we want to let Christ be first. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 11, he says, "Follow Me as I follow Christ." So that would be I would still be following Christ if we were following someone that was following Christ. But I'm glad that the Lord, He didn't tell us to follow anyone except those that's following Christ.
Amen.
And over in the 8th chapter of the book of St. John, I believe it is, we want to notice the scripture over here. Chapter and the 12th verse. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
Amen.
You know, I believe that the Lord somewhere in life's way appears to every man,
amen,
to every woman, and every boy and every girl, somewhere in their life. And He wants them, He knows that they in their own selves are not capable of directing their steps. He tells us over in Jeremiah, I believe it is 9:23, He says, "It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps." So the Lord, God had sent Jesus down here that we might have someone to follow. And Here it says in this 12th verse of the 8th chapter of St. John, said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Lord appears, like I mentioned, to every one of us individually. He appears to us, and if we will listen to Him, if we will follow Him, well, He'll shed some light upon our pathway, and we won't have to walk in darkness. We can have the light of life. I think of us, like we heard this morning, the Lord, He has a great salvation, and He gives us the privilege of being born again, and then shining His light down within our hearts. And this light, this light of life, when it shines within our heart, it gives us something to go by. It gives us something, changes our darkness into light, and we have something to go by. Over in the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, we want to notice another scripture over here. Fourth chapter, I believe it is. The fourth verse says, the third verse, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That is what the Lord does when He contacts a soul. Well, if they will listen to Him, well, He will shine some light down into our souls. And He will cause us to be able to see. He'll cause us to be able to see different from what we were when we were in sin. I think of the Apostle Paul, when the Lord called him to preach His gospel. He says, "I want you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." And that's the first thing that He does for us, is to open our eyes. Open our eyes spiritually, and causes us to see something different from what we had been able to see before.
Amen.
He shines His light upon our pathway and causes us to follow Him. The thought of following Him, He has a way of introducing Himself to us and letting us know that He is the Son of God, letting us know that He is the one that is able to lead us and to guide us and to cause us to place our faith and confidence in Him. I think of the eunuch when he was on his way to been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he didn't understand really the plan of salvation, and he was desiring help, and God knew this, so He spake to His servant Philip and told him to go down and join himself to this chariot. And when he did, he was reading the scripture of the prophecy of Christ. And so when he desired Philip to come up and teach him, and when he did, he said he preached unto him Jesus. And then as he come along where there was water, he says, "Well, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" The Lord was opening this man's eyes. He was opening his eyes. He had understood what the prophet was talking about. At first, he asked the question, says, Who is the prophet talking about, himself or some other man? But as Christ, as Philip preached Christ unto him, he got a hold of what the prophet was talking about. He knew he was talking about the one, the Savior, the one that was able to open his eyes. And he had his eyes opened there, he says, well, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? We don't know what all Philip preached to him, but he preached something that struck in this man's heart, something that touched a chord, something that wakened him that he had never experienced before. And so he says, what doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip says, well, thou mayest if thou believe with all of thine heart. Well, you know, he says, I believe that Christ, Jesus, is the Son of God.
Amen.
They had something of God had shined some light upon this man's heart and give him some understanding that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And, well, that is the beginning of us following the Lord. He gave this man someone to follow then. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Scripture says, he that believeth in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, and confession is made with the mouth unto salvation, says he shall be saved. So to believe Jesus as the Son of God with an open heart, that brings us in contact with Christ. That's our first experience with Christ. That's our beginning. We can't really be saved until we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But when we believe that, that elevates our faith from anything else
Amen.
That the world might have to offer. That gives us a privilege of having hope beyond what the world might have to offer.
That's right.
To believe that He is the Son of God, I don't know of anyone else I'd rather follow than the Son of God. Do you? I'd rather follow Him than anyone else.
Amen.
In fact, He is the one that has control of everything. God has given Him the keys of the kingdom, committed the government to His hand, committed all power in heaven and earth in His hand. And
yes,
so, and then Jesus, along with Christ's elevation and His exaltation and so on. God, after Christ suffered and died on the cross, shed His blood and paid the price of salvation and was raised from the dead again. God saw that He had paid a full price for our salvation, and therefore Jesus, God is able then to send the Holy Spirit back to us and to witness to us that Christ is the Son of God. You know, that's what Jesus will do for us. I think of the rich young man that came to Jesus and says, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him what to do. And he says, well, all of this have I done, kept from my youth up, what like
Amen.
I yet? Well, this great Son of God, see, he saw just what the idol was in this man's heart. So he told him, he says, go and sell all that thou hast and come and follow me, and thou shalt have eternal life. Well, the rich young man was no doubt had his heart set on his riches, and he said he went away sad because he had great possessions. But just think of it, if he had obeyed Jesus, then he says, and come and follow me, the Lord would have continued to reveal Himself to him and would have showed him how to live and how to continue on in the ways that would lead unto eternal life. He's that way today. He wants to reveal Himself to every one of us in a way that we can be assured that we're following Christ. He doesn't want us just to guess where we're going. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ is able and willing and does give us some understanding Over in the second chapter of Timothy, we want to notice what it says over here. The Lord can help us to follow Him.
Yes, He can.
Follow Him, and that way we'll be saved. Here in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, we want to notice the verse. In the fourth verse says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive also for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Now that understanding, that's what the Lord wants to give us. He wants to give us some understanding. If someone instructs us how to go through this town and maps it out and gives us street numbers and so on, well, we have some understanding of how to get through here. So the Lord gives understanding to His people.
Yes,
that's one thing that He gives. That's one thing that that Christ gives when we come to Him. He opens up our understanding. He helps us to know, to understand His ways and His thoughts. But it's when we consider the gospel. There's lots of people that hear the gospel. Maybe hear it. They think, well, it sounds pretty good. But they don't really consider it. They don't consider it enough for the Lord to give them understanding. But if we consider the words of the gospel, if we consider the word of God, well, the Lord will cause us to let it get down into our hearts, and it'll give us some understanding, and then
yes,
we can follow on in the ways of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Over in, I believe it is in Hosea, I believe it's the fourth chapter, I'm not sure. Sixth chapter in the third verse says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, whose going forth is prepared as a morning." Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. We might not know very much about the gospel, but if we just hear a little of it, just hear a little of it about the Son of God and about what He can do, then if we will follow that, then the Lord will reveal more to us. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. I remember when I first got saved, I knew that I was a sinner before I got saved. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I believe there was a heaven, and I believe there was a hell, and I knew that I wasn't prepared to live, wasn't prepared to die, and I realized that my time was could be cut off at any time. So I had enough fear of the God upon my heart that I didn't want to die in that condition. I wanted to get saved. I wanted to make a change. I was getting tired of my ways and the ways of the world, and I wanted to make a change. And I promised the Lord, Lord, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'll get saved. The first opportunity the Lord would give me. So He answered my prayer in that way, and I was soon in a meeting, and they gave an altar call, and so I immediately went to the altar and knelt down at the altar, and the preacher come up, and it wasn't a Church of God service. The preacher came up and offered me his hand, and he says, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" Well, of course, I believe that in a historical matter way. My mother had taught us about Christ and all, and so that was all the instructions that he gave me. So I got up from my from the altar and went home, but I didn't feel any change in my heart, any change in my life. But I I was wanting to be saved. I was wanting to make a change. And I told the Lord, I told myself, or I did. I went out and I had it fixed in my heart that I wasn't going to quit until I knew that I was saved, until I knew that I had met the Lord. And so I was out there praying, pouring out my heart to the Lord. And my mother came out to me and she said, "Son, if you have repented of your sins, you must believe that He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to save you." So I took my mother at her word, and I got up from prayer and went and was at night, and I lay down on my bed. And when I got still, the Lord sent real peace into my heart. He just sent real peace into my heart. Well, what I wanted to say is, I got saved because there's a little fear of God there, and because I was repenting to the best of the way I knew, and the Lord saved me. He gave me peace. But that was just the beginning. He had something more to reveal to me. He had something more to lead me into. And so I found out by following the Lord. It says, Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. I found out if I would walk in what light I had, well, the Lord would reveal more light to me. He would help me, and I wouldn't have to walk in darkness. I wouldn't have to guess, well, is this the right way, or is this the right way, or am I walking in just guessing at it? But the Lord, as I would read His Word, well, the Lord would reveal Himself to me. One time I was on the job just after I'd got saved, about is in 41, and I met up with a man that was real cross on the job and kind of cranky with me and so on. And so I was saved. I was trying to behave myself in the way of a Christian should. When I went home, I asked the Lord, give me a scripture that would fit my case and that would help me to know how to meet with what I'm meeting with. Well, the Lord helped me to open up to that scripture where it says, "Bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, and persecute you." Well, the Lord was guiding me. I didn't have to guess where that was. I read it in the Bible, and the Lord helped me to believe it. So I didn't have to guess, well, is this the right thing to do? I knew that was the right thing to do. So I did it, and it worked all right. It worked. Well, the Lord has promised. That was just the beginning of leading me. And so the Lord has promised to lead us and to guide us if we will follow Him. The Lord values someone that is following Him. He values that. He's looking for people that will follow the Lord. Over in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, 16:9, and if I remember right, it says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Well, there's not anything that you and I could do any better than to follow the Lord. Amen. That's what He wants us to do. He's willing to reveal Himself to us as individuals. He's able to reveal Himself to us so that we can know that we are following the Lord, that we can know that we are following Him. Over in, I believe it is in St. John 14:27, we want to notice the scripture over here. St. John 14:10-27 it is what I want. St. John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Yes. Now, you know, of all the shepherds, we have just natural shepherds that care for natural sheep. But of all the shepherds that is careful for, cares about his sheep, well, the Lord Jesus does. He cares about his sheep, so he lets them know his voice. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So that is a privilege that you and I have of following the Lord.
Amen.
Privilege that we have of following Him and letting Him be our shepherd. And as we follow Him, He reveals to us what all He has done for us. He reveals to us and lets us know that He gave His life for us and that He is a safe one to follow. And I remember one time that on my job at work, during the noon hour, I was sitting out in my car. I had 30-minute noon hour. I was sitting out there to read a little in the Word of God to feed my soul. That was after I was saved. And so the Lord opened up this scripture to me in 13 and 20 and 21 of Hebrews. And we want to notice what it says here. 13 and 21 of Hebrews. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight." You know, when we are willing to follow the Lord, and when we are willing to hear His voice and obey that voice, well, then He reveals to us what a great privilege we have of following Him. He reveals to us that He's our shepherd, and that He's our shepherd, and that He is the Son of God, and we just feel real safe in following Him.
Yes, we do.
It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." And I thought about, while I was sitting there in the car, thinking about the God of being a God of peace, my mind first just went on the thoughts of God being a God of peace. He wants us to have peace. That's one thing that He would have everyone to have is peace. He wants to give peace. That's God is a God of peace. It says, "Now the God of peace." Well, the Lord knew peace a lot of times means more than just what we might first take of it. It means give us peace of mind, peace of heart, His care for us, everything going well with us in the way that would be for our good and to His glory. And so it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." And I thought about the great shepherd. I thought, well, now, God knew that I was going to need a shepherd. So He raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead and gave him the job of being my shepherd, a bishop of my soul. And so then it says, "And through the blood of the everlasting covenant," and He showed me that by following this great shepherd and listening to Him, He had shed His blood, was able to do a perfect work for us, able to cleanse us, blot out our transgressions, was able to cleanse us from our sin, and then was able to make us perfect under every good work. You know, if we will follow Jesus, if we'll follow Him and follow His Word, if we'll let His Word be our chart in life and our map to so on, well then He can help us to be made perfect in every good work. As we just open up our hearts to the Lord, I love to think about over in the 95th Psalm, it says, "The Lord, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." I love to just think of the Lord. You're the one that's made us. He's our Creator in the beginning. But that's not all. He's the one that created us in Christ. He's the one that gave us spiritual life. And
that's right.
Just like He prepared everything here for the natural body, He's put every good thing that we need for the natural body, placed fruits and everything else that we need for our natural body. So in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in the Son of God, there's everything we need for the soul. Everything that we need. And then as we follow this great shepherd, He will supply our needs as we go along. "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight." You know, that's what will come by us following the Lord. The Lord will work within us. He will work within us. He'll put His laws within our heart and within our mind. And He'll shed His love abroad in our souls so that we'll be able to do the will of God. Be able to walk and have the light of life. Over in 1 Peter, we want to notice another scripture over here. In 1 Peter 2 and 21, it says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Now, we were called of all of our calling. We might not be called to be anything special, a special teacher or preacher, but we are called to salvation. We're called to be saints. We're called to be followers of the Lord. Every one of us have that calling. And the Lord has wise enough that He's left His footprints here in the world that we can know how that He walked. It says here, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Now, you know, Christ lived different from everyone else that had ever lived. When He came here, He came to do the will of God. He came with it says, "Thy law is within my heart." He had the law of God in His heart. And everything He did was in harmony with the Father. And so He says here, Christ has left us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps.
Amen.
Do you believe it's possible for us to follow the steps of Christ?
Yes.
I do. I believe it is possible. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to follow His steps. And I know that if I do that, it will, like the song says, if we follow Him all the way, we follow Him in the garden, we follow Him to the cross, we follow Him... we can follow Him to glory if we follow His steps. It says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." Now, the way that Jesus walked was free from sin. He didn't walk in sin. He came to be a friend to the sinners, but He didn't partake of their sins. He showed them how they should walk. So that's the safe route for you and I, is to follow His steps.
Praise the Lord.
As we follow Him, well, then He's promised to give us the light of life.
Yes,
following Him all the way. The Lord, there's no one that has ever profited spiritually except those that follow the Lord. You know, if we follow man, well, man might lead us astray, and we'll come up short of what God wants us to have. But if we follow Jesus, He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. And He will lead us in the ways when our souls can be blessed. And He has the best of everything for us when we follow Him. Now, if you want to know the will of God, just study the life of Jesus. Just study the life that He lived, the kind of life that He lived, and that will be following Him.
Yes.
That's a way that we can follow Jesus. And it says, "He that followeth me shall not have the walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And we can just continue to follow the Lord, and He will lead us in His ways. Over in Colossians 3 and 12, we want to notice another scripture over here. Colossians 3 and 12. "Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving
Praise
one
God.
Another, even as Christ hath if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you." Now, in following Christ, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, humbleness of mind. That's one of the necessary things that we have to follow Christ. We have to have humility of mind. And over in Micah 6:8, the question was asked. It says, "What doth the Lord require of thee, O man?" And it says, "But to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." The margin says, "To humble thyself, to walk with God." And well, to walk with God, to walk with someone, and it means us are going the way they're going. It doesn't mean for us to lead them, but for us to go the way they go. That would be following them, or to walking humbly with them. And so that's what the Lord requires of us. If we'll humble our hearts before Him, well, then the Lord will lead us in the ways that He wants us to go. Over in Book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, the 24th verse. I want us to notice a scripture over here. Numbers 14 and 24. It says, But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit. Now, to follow the Lord, we have to have another spirit. We have to have another spirit beside the spirit of the world, or beside the spirit of our own. In other words, we have to have the Holy Spirit. But it says, my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You know, if we can learn to follow the Lord, well, He'll lead us into the right path, won't He? He will lead us. He was talking about Caleb here, that he would have, that he would lead him over into the land of Canaan, which he and Joshua got to enjoy, which was the only ones that did, that started out from Egypt, except they were the only ones that got to go over, but they had another spirit. Well, it's in order for us to follow the Lord, we'll have to have another spirit besides the spirit of our own. We'll have to say, well, my spirit don't leave me. One place it says, take heed unto your spirit. So we have to give up our ways and our thoughts. And Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
That's right.
So in order to follow the Lord, we have to have another spirit. We have to have the Spirit of God. And Christ will lead us in a ways that the spirit of the world will not have any entertainment. If we don't get our affections upon Christ, and we don't take pleasure in Him, well, He couldn't lead us. He couldn't guide us, because we wouldn't have any pleasure in where He would guide us. But if we have that other spirit, if we have the Spirit of God, well, then we're able to follow Him fully, and then we can enjoy what He has to give us. Over in the 7th chapter of Revelation, He tells us, it says, Caleb had fully followed the Lord. Well, if we fully follow the Lord today, well, He'll lead us in a way that is good. Over here in the 7th chapter of Revelation, He tells us something about where He will lead us. Here in the Revelations, 7th chapter. The 15th verse is, therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And you know, that's what comes by following the Lord. When we follow Him, follow Him in our life, following Him to the place of prayer, following Him to the house of God, following Him to the house of devotion, well, there the Lord will lead us. There He will feed us. There He will instruct us. He will instruct us, you know, over in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. Let's notice what it says over here in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. Says in the second verse, says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Now, when we allow the Lord to lead us in our lives, in our spiritual life, well, he'll lead us right up to this mountain. He'll lead us up to where the law of the Lord is going forth. Well, you say, there's lots of people that says they've got a place of worship, the secret of it is following the Lord, following him. He knows where this mountain is, and this mountain is so high, and it's exalted above the other hills and the other mountains. This is a mountain that the Lord has established. This is one, and it mentions about the holy mountain, and so this is what it is, and it says he will teach us of his ways. Teach us of that's what the gospel is for. That's what Jesus is for. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the one that sets the members in the bodies. It pleases him. As his body is effectual and working, and we listen to what he has prepared for us, then it's actually not the preacher that is feeding us, but it's the great shepherd. It's Christ himself. One place it mentions about there shall be one shepherd, and it says, "And my servant David shall feed them." Well, that's talking about Christ. That's talking about him. And so he's the one that is able to feed us, the one that is able to help us and to cause us to be led by the still waters, and to be fed in the his paths. And here in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelations, again, we want to notice a verse here in the 14th chapter. And we'll begin with the second verse. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." Do you know that's what comes by following the Lord? He'll lead us to the place where we have some joy in our heart, where we can harp with our hearts. And it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 and 4,000. Well, I understand this 140 and 4,000 just as figuratively speaking, representing a whole, representing the church of God, and so on. But it says no one could learn this song except those been redeemed, redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. For there's lots of things that will defile us in the world today. There's lots of religions that will defile us if we listen to them. Lots of them, one brother preached not long ago, how that the devil tries to rob us of our joy. Well, someone that teaches a false religion, teaches we contrary to the Word of God, teaches us things that would dry up our souls instead of feeding our souls. That's different from the way it works when we follow the Lord. It says, "For these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." You know, the Lamb, God has good things to those that will follow him. He has good things to reveal to them. He has spiritual blessings. He has everything that we need here in this world to get along and to glorify Him. Christ is able to give us that as we follow the Lamb. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. You know, the only way that you and I can live without fault before God is to learn to follow Christ. He's our example. It says, in whose footsteps we should follow, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Lord is able to help us to follow Him. He's able to help us to do that. Over in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations, we want to notice another scripture. It says in the 11th verse, it says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Well, you know, as we follow the Lord, well, He will clothe us with a robe of righteousness. He will clothe us in fine linen, and He'll give us a horse to ride on. And a horse is something that denotes power, something that is powerful, and a white horse is something that is pure. You know, a lot of people may be praying for power, but we want that power that is pure, that power that Christ exhibited, that power that He had to live a holy life. Well, as we follow the Lord will give us the power to live a holy life. I helped preach a funeral years ago with an old brother Stice. Some of you who's been back to Monarch may remember him. He was an old Church of God man, and we had come in contact with the saints, and we visited him many times, and he came to the services, and we went to have services where he was son. And when we was assisting, and this man was, he was in his 90s when he died, but he'd do a lot of fasting and praying right there on his bed, and then when you'd go and talk to him, he'd talk about the Lord. And so when we got ready to preach this man's funeral, I looked to the Lord, asked the Lord, Lord, give me something that would fit Brother Stice's case. And he brought to my mind over in Judges, it mentions about those that was judging Israel upon horses and so on. And the Lord just showed me spiritually that he had given Brother Stice a horse to ride on, to give him strength, extra strength, right there in his old days, and living for the Lord. Well, that's what the Lord can do for us. He can help us to have power to live a holy life.
Yeah.
Over in the 85th Psalm, there's another scripture that we're thinking about following the Lord.
Yeah.
85th Psalm. Here in the 10th verse, it says, Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and he shall set us in the way of his steps. Now the Lord has to set us in the way of his steps before we can follow the Lord successfully. But he is able to do that. He's able to set us in the way of his steps. And the way he does that is us yielding to him and following on. And he put his very nature in our souls and enlightens our understanding and helps us when we read the Bible. will give us understanding of it. We can read it as not just a Bible or not just a book, but it can be an inspired book, a book that can help us to know that we are following the Lord. I remember when I was a young man, I was first saved. I was on my job praying and desiring a closer walk with the Lord and desiring more understanding of His Word. And I was during my noon hour again, at the break during the noon hour, I was upstairs in a room down on my knees praying and looking to the Lord to feed my soul. And so while I was on my knees, the Lord helped me to open to this scripture here in 1 Peter, the first chapter. It says, "Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Now the Lord helped me to know personally. Brother Simons was talking this morning when he got saved. He said someone didn't have to tell him that he was saved, that he was born again, but he had the knowledge of that. Well, while I was on my knees calling upon God, the Lord made me know that I was finding what the prophets had prophesied of. I was enjoying it, and I was believing in it, and the Lord so anointed my heart and my soul, and that after that it seemed like the Word of God just opened up to me in a greater way. So then I knew that I wasn't following man, and I was following the Word of God. You and I still have a privilege of following the Bible, following the Word of God. I think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is given, it says it, He gives it to all that obey Him. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is to be our guide. It's to be our teacher and our guide and our comforter. Mm-hmm. And even though after we get saved, and acquainted with the saints, and even though those that right among us might fall, they might come short of the glory of God, but you and I, the Lord has a privilege, has a way of leading us and guiding us and instructing us. And even though the man that should be the closest to us, that we would depend upon the most, if he fails, the Lord is still able to guide us. He's still able to help us on. So that is that's what it means to follow the Lord. The Lord, He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and they know Me, and I know them, and they follow Me, and a stranger will they not follow." So the Lord has a close relationship between Him and His people, between Him and His sheep. I've been in places. I was in a place once where our pastor there was failing the Lord. He was coming short, and finally it was exposed that he just completely failed the Lord. But you know, the Lord opened my eyes even before all of this happened. So the Lord showed me that I couldn't follow that. I couldn't follow that he wasn't following the Lord. So the Lord reserves the right to guide His sheep. He's the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the true shepherd. He's the one that rules over everything else. Man may fail, but Christ never fails. Man may fail, but Christ never fails. And you and I can be safe if we follow Him. Follow Him in the ways that He wants us to follow. Over in the 3 John it says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil." But you and I, we can be so acquainted with the Lord and acquainted with the Holy Spirit and acquainted with that light from heaven, acquainted with the righteousness of God, so much that If a brother fails among us, if he fails, well, the Lord can he can help us to follow right on in His ways. Here in 3 John 1:11 says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good." You know, the ways of the Lord is right. The ways of the Lord is good. It's upright. It's good. It's something from heaven. And the ways of the Lord is different from man's ways. And when we get acquainted with the ways of the Lord, His ways are so much higher than our ways, and His thoughts and our thoughts. That we get acquainted with Him and with the Holy Ghost leadership and with the Holy Ghost ministers. And when the Holy Ghost minister is feeding our souls on the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is witnessing to our heart that that's truth, and we're receiving it not as a word of man, but as it is truth, the Word of God, and we believe that. And then if another man gets up putting his own private interpretation on the Scripture, putting out his own ideas, there's a lack there. There's a difference. And then he says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good." And that which, the Lord, He has ordained that the Holy Ghost be the leader and the superior, presiding elder in the Church of God. He's ordained that it be that way. And so, that's the only route, that's the only way that God qualifies or sends any minister to feed the Church of God is by the Holy Ghost. That's the only way that He does it. Over in the 20th chapter and 28 of Acts, it says, "Feed the Church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the Church of God." There's something about the Holy Ghost in the preached word, even in the songs, in the testimonies, when they're anointed and when the Holy Spirit is given them, it feeds our souls. It feeds our souls. So that is. And then when we follow what the preacher's saying, when he's preaching the word and the Holy Spirit's backing it up, we're not following the preacher, we're following God.
Amen.
And that's the way He has of leading us. It's through the Holy Ghost ministers. That's one way He has of leading us. He can lead us individually, but it'll always be according to the Word of God. Whenever He leads, it'll always be according to the Word of God. We can follow Him and we can be safe in following Him. I'm glad that the Lord has given us the privilege of following Him.
Praise God.
Following Him, living for Him, following Him in our life, following Him all the way. The Lord has given us the privilege of doing that. There is one good thing that the Lord does over in the 84th Psalm, I believe it is. We want to notice the scripture over here. In the 84th Psalm. I want the scripture where it says they shall all appear before God. We'll just read the 87th Psalm. Pardon me. "And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the Highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there." There's one scripture that says, "And they shall all appear before God." I believe. 84 and 7, thank you. 84 and 7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now that's a privilege of every one of us. Everyone in Zion appeareth before God. And God is able to reveal Himself to us and to give us some guidance and some knowledge and some understanding and successfully lead us and guide us in His ways. I'm real glad that the Lord has established a way in which you and I can follow Him. We can follow Jesus. We can follow His teachings. We can follow His Word. And just as sure as we do, well, He'll lead us in the right way. There it's in Revelations when it's speaking about the white horse and he sat upon it. It says, in righteousness He doth judge and make war. You know, that's the only way that the Lord works is through righteousness. And that's the way He leads us. Over in Timothy, the 5th or 6th chapter, it says, speaking about the things to flee from, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, and meekness. So that's the way that the Lord will lead us. And when we follow after those things here in this world and keep those things in our heart, we just follow Him and let Him fill us, fill our hearts with those heavenly things and those good things, well, then the Lord's going to count us as His jewels. And when He comes back, He's going to take us to heaven. He's going to take us to be with Him forever and ever. And that's our reward of following the Lord. Following Him. I'm glad that we can follow Him. And like the song says, we can follow Him to Calvary. We can follow Him in the garden. And we can follow Him on to glory. There we can be with Him. So all the ones that will follow the Lord, well, there's a real blessing pronounced upon you. Amen.